The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
In the book of 1 John, it talks about antichrists, plural. How many antichrists are there? And who are they? Thank you for joining us today on Grace in Focus. This is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We'd love for you to get to know us better, and you can do that at our website, faithalone.org. On our website, you can find a free subscription to our magazine, Grace in Focus. That's faithalone.org. Also, if you want to study with us in our online seminary, GES Seminary, we are in the application zone. It's time now to apply if you want to begin in the fall semester. Get more information at gesseminary.org or our general website, faithalone.org. Now, with today's question about the Antichrists, here are discussion leaders Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
All right, we're going to continue with your book, The Gospel is Still Under Siege, and today we're going to talk about Chapter 1, titled, The Gospel is Still Under Siege, The Antichrist.
I basically tried as best I could to follow the chapters that Zane Hodges had in his original, The Gospel Under Siege. And so his first chapter was dealing with the Antichrist. Most of my chapters follow his, and I'm just showing how 42 years later, in 2023 when I wrote this, 42 years after 1981 when he wrote the first edition of this, I talk about how it's still we're seeing these same kinds of attacks.
Yeah.
And that's what I talk about in this chapter on the Antichrist.
Okay. I noticed you said Antichrist plural. You know, I know a lot of people hear the term Antichrist, you think about the evil person in the end times, but this is not how you're using that term Antichrist plural here.
No.
And that's not how Zane used it.
So. No, he was going through 1 John, and John uses the term Antichrist now, and there's a coming Antichrist,
yeah,
singular.
Yeah.
And by the way, Hodges held the unique view, and I agree with him, that the Antichrist in the book of Revelation is not the world ruler called the beast, but he is the religious ruler,
mm-hmm,
because the Antichrist is going to be the one who is getting people to worship the political ruler, the beast. And I think he's right. It would make sense that the Antichrist is the religious ruler, but most people think the Antichrist is the political ruler. But anyway, I think he's right. And today there are many Antichrists, according to John.
And how are these Antichrists sieging on the gospel?
Essentially, the Antichrist, in some way or another, are denying that Jesus has come in the flesh. And Hodges points out in his commentary on 1 through 3 John that there are different ways they might do this. They might say, like Docetism, is Jesus just appeared to be a man. Others might say that God came on Jesus and he became the God-man at his baptism, and God left him at the cross, and that's why he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? So he ceased being the God-man, and the man died, not the God-man died. Lots of different ways, but in 1 John, I think one of the key things the Antichrist were doing was denying the promise of everlasting life.
I have it here, 1 John chapter 2, verse 22. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son.
Yeah, and notice what he goes on to say. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also.
Yeah.
Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. That's what you need to allow to abide in you, the assurance,
mm-hmm,
of everlasting life. And then he says, these things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. Well, they're trying to deceive you concerning Jesus being the Christ. And the crux of that is that whoever believes in Jesus has everlasting life.
So what does it mean to deny that Jesus is the Christ? Isn't the Christ just Jesus' last name?
No, yeah, in John's gospel, as well as in 1 through 3 John, the Christ is a rough and ready synonym for the message of John 3:16, that whoever believes in him will not perish but has everlasting life. You see that in John 11:25-27, where Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life, And then he gives a statement about the resurrection and a statement about the life. He says, he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. That's the promise of glorification, that believer will be glorified into his kingdom. And that's a statement of eternal security. And then another statement of eternal security concerning the life is, he who lives and believes in me shall never die. Well, shall never die is basically a statement of has everlasting life. So that the believer is eternally secure. He'll be glorified. He'll never lose everlasting life. And then he says to Martha, do you believe this? And her answer is not simply repeating what he said. Yes, Lord, I believe that by faith in you, I'm going to be glorified. I'll never die spiritually. Instead, she says why she believes that's true. Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God who is to come into the world. And that's also found in the purpose statement in John's Gospel in John 20:31, that anyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, has life in his name.
So denying the saving message or denying the gospel message is actually something very serious. The Bible calls that person an antichrist.
Yeah. If someone says you can believe in the promise of everlasting life and yet not have it, well, then that is an antichrist.
The Grace Evangelical Society's seminary, GES Seminary, is getting ready for the 2024 fall semester. All classes are online, and we are now ready to receive your application. GESseminary.org is where you apply, and if you want to begin study this fall, we must receive your application by July 29th. That's GESseminary.org. Classroom size is limited, so let us hear from you soon. Apply now. GESseminary.org.
If someone says you can believe in the promise of everlasting life and yet not have it, well, then that is an antichrist. And the antichrist, their goal is to get people not to believe in eternal life. It's sad today, but the vast majority of people in Christianity do not think that certainty of our eternal destiny is possible, nor a good thing. They think if you could be sure of your eternal destiny, well, then you'd go out and live like the devil, and then you wouldn't do what was necessary to be saved. Because in their view, in order to be saved, you not only need to believe certain facts about Jesus, but you need to commit your life to him, you need to surrender to him, you need to follow him the rest of your life, and that means perseverance until the end. And if you don't persevere in faith and good works until the end, they will either say you lose your salvation, which is a lot of people in Christianity, or some would say you prove you never had it in the first place, or a new flavor of Calvinism is that they will say initial salvation is by faith alone, and final salvation is by faith plus works. And so they will say you can't lose final salvation because you don't get it unless you persevere.
How do all those different messages affect the saving message, believe in Jesus for everlasting life?
Basically, the way they impact it is by denying it. In other words, they're coming along and saying it's not enough to have intellectual assent. That's kind of become a pejorative expression, intellectual assent, like I think Zane Hodges called it a Christian cuss word now. I personally have no problem with the expression intellectual assent because all belief is intellectual assent. Mm-hmm. If I believe that Joe Biden is the president of the United States, I am persuaded or convinced that he's president of the United States. There's no emotional component to that. There's no willful component to that. I'm either convinced or I'm not. Now, there may be emotions associated with it, but my belief in that requires no emotion, and it requires no willful commitment either. The same thing would be true if I believe George Washington was the first president of the United States. Again, I'm persuaded that's intellectual assent. If I believe Jesus was born in Bethlehem, that's intellectual assent. If I believe Jesus rose from the dead, died on the cross for my sins, that's intellectual assent. If I believe that he guarantees me everlasting life because I believe in him for it, that's intellectual assent. But most people in Christianity say, no, no, no. Faith is not intellectual assent. Faith involves understanding acceptance and trust. And they will say there's an intellectual component, an emotional component, and a willful or volitional component. And they say you must commit yourself to Christ. You must decide to follow him. And so as a result, John 3:16 no longer is, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." It's whoever commits themselves to him and obeys him and perseveres in him and follows him, that's the person who should not perish but has everlasting life.
Yeah, and I guess the big problem with a lot of these lordship work salvation messages is that basically they prevent someone from believing the saving truth, because you can't believe that you need to obey Jesus and at the same time, I'm going to believe in him only for everlasting life.
You know, Mike, I so agree with what you're saying, yet that's very controversial.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people would say, as long as you have, quote-unquote, received Jesus or invited him into your heart, or as long as you've committed your life to him, or as long as you've promised to serve him, or as long as you love him, or as long as you've started following him, well, then we're not going to get into any picky particulars about whether you believe that by faith in him you're secure forever. You see, there are a lot of people in Christianity who believe, theoretically, in eternal security. They'll say, well, yeah, the elect person is eternally secure, but I just don't know if I'm elect, and we can't know if we're elect. But essentially, those people don't believe in eternal security or once saved, always saved. And the truth is, once you say you have to believe that, people will say, well, that seems pretty picky. Mm-hmm. And my answer would be, yeah, Jesus was pretty clear that you have to believe in him in order to have everlasting life. When I came to faith, we used to say one way. There's only one way. There's not 12 ways. There's not 50 ways. There's one way. His name is Jesus, and it's only by faith in Jesus, and it's only by faith in Jesus for what he promises, which is a secure salvation.
So there might actually be more antichrist than we actually think.
If an antichrist is anyone who is denying the promise of everlasting life simply by faith in Christ, faith as understood as simply being convinced or persuaded, then yeah, most churches are proclaiming a false gospel. Most churches are proclaiming something akin to what the Judaizers were proclaiming in the book of Galatians.
Very good. Read more about this. Pick up Bob Wilkins' book, The Gospel is Still Under Siege, available at faithalone.org. And remember, keep grace in focus.
We would love to know where you are when you are listening to us. Please take a short minute to send us the call letters of this station and the city where you are listening, and how many times a week you listen. Thank you. You will be helping us with our stewardship. Send it to radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. On the next episode, what is assurance of eternal salvation and why is it required? Please join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.